Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Log Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for tuning in to Lock the Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me directly or any one of my social handles at Locker_Report, which is on Twitter, or my other personal handle on Twitter, 2B Sports. You also can reach out to me through via Instagram at LockReport100, all small caps, Facebook, LockReport.com, or you guys can always simply shoot me a message via email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Well, welcome. I hope everyone had themselves a great morning. Hope everybody had themselves a great week. And most importantly, I hope that everyone was safe in all their travels. But to add to the caveat of a great week, hope everyone enjoyed their first week one of the NFL football. Well, you know I did. And there was a lot of great things that happened last week in week one, which I will definitely, you know, talk about, and also leading up to this week for week two. Now, last night, you know, we were able to watch the Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we saw how the Buccaneers was able to hold off the Panthers in that matchup, which was really great to see. Pretty much, I would say, a goal line stance, so to speak. Unfortunately, the Panthers were not able to convert that first down. As a matter of fact, when I saw those guys lined up in that formation going Wildcat and Cam Newton was not on the field, I already had a sense of what they were going to do. And I think everybody who watched football and watched how the Carolina Panthers play, except for the Carolina Panthers, other than the Carolina Panthers, just like the Carolina Panthers, everybody knew pretty much what they was going to do, and that was what adjustments that the Bucs made at the last minute to be able to hold those guys off for getting that first down and extending an opportunity for the Panthers to win that game. But all in all, it definitely was a great game. NFL football is back, which I'm really excited about. And like I said, last week's show, I will start off with certain things to watch out for going into the season of going into that week of the NFL football. Now, what to look for in week two. Since the realignment in 2002, 226 of the 200, my fault, let me take that back. Since the realignment in 2002, 126 out of 204 playoff teams began the season with either 1-1 record or an 0-2 record, including 10 teams last season, the most recent in 2002, and six division champions, Baltimore, Chicago Bears, Dallas Cowboys, Houston, Texans, New England Patriots, and the New Orleans Saints. They were the six teams that actually won their divisions in that span after starting the season off either 1-1 or 0-2. So Carolina Panthers fans, don't panic. Right now is at a 61.8% that your chances of still getting to the postseason are still there. So don't think for 1 minute that your playoff hopes are dead. You just have to make their readjustments. They just have to get back on the same page so that these guys can be able to move forward so they can be able to have a successful 2019 NFL campaign. Now, dating back to last year, the Houston Texans became the first team in NFL history to win 9 consecutive games following an 0-3 start. So they were the first team to win their division after starting 0-3 since the San Diego Chargers, now Los Angeles Chargers, when they did it in 1992. So let's say, Panther fans, that if you guys get off to a worse start and y'all guys lose next week, because it's been done, it's a good chance that y'all guys can still be in the hunt to do it again. So not by any means throw the season away or throw in the towel, because the fact of the matter is Carolina Panthers, it's a good team. I love coach, their coach. I love the way how he orchestrates, knowing that North Turner is the offensive coordinator, and also Cam Newton, knowing that other than his selection of how he's going to dress, don't want to question his heart, his abilities, and his eagerness to win. I think that this team is going to pull together. They did it before. I don't see them being counted out now as a team that's going to flop and just turn the season over. It's a long season. Just 2 games have passed. So don't give up hope on your Carolina Panthers. Now, another thing to watch out for, which is pretty good, and it's going to find my spot right there. Okay. They call this quarterback. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson passed for 324 yards and 5 touchdowns in week 1, while Dak Prescott, quarterback for Dallas Cowboys, threw for 405 yards and 4 touchdowns. They became the first players to record a 158.3 passing rating, the highest capacity mark in a season opener, with a minimum of 20 attempts in NFL history. So Lamar Jackson, 22 years old, was able to do it. So that was a good outing for Lamar Jackson, although the Ravens went up against a team in the Miami Dolphins that was somewhat still put together after they made some changes, so to speak, with their roster. Having about 15 new guys on that roster playing for that team, where you have an organization, the coaching staff with Flores, really didn't know what he had in his players to be able to go out and play against a Ravens team that knew what they wanted to do. And then from it snowballed against the Dolphins, but the Ravens were able to go out and put on a performance that not necessarily, I would say, just to get a win, but it was also a confidence thing there as well, knowing that Lamar Jackson, who I'm a fan of and wish him the best and hope that he succeeds, but him being able to be a thrower of the ball on the NFL level still needs a lot of work. When you factor in a game like last week, how he was able to come out and perform, it was more of a confidence-building game. And then at the same time, knowing that Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, is what everyone called him, with him missing a lot of OTAs, a lot of training camp, you know, a lot of the preseason, him and Lamar really did not have a lot of chemistry for us practicing-wise. But to see how those guys came out and played last week, it was as if they've been playing catch ever since he got drafted, ever since Brown got drafted. So that was something relate from back from last week. Now we're going to move forward on to this week. Now, in regards, you know, to my guy, the players from the NFL Regional Combine, there was some good work that was done there. And I would say it was not a lot that happened for us with a lot of the regional combine guys last week. However, there were some things to point out that went very well last week for some of the players. Now, started off last week with week 1, the one that pretty much jumped out of the box and having himself a solid game was Chicago Bears defensive end Roy Robinson-Harris. Playing against the Green Bay Packers. Now, Roy last year when they played against the Green Bay Packers in the opener, he almost ended Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers season last year, when he tackled him for a sack late in the second quarter, and that's when Aaron Rodgers had to be, you know, escorted off the field because he thought it was a bad knee injury. We all know the rest of the story from there. Aaron Rodgers came back late in the game, put his Superman cape on, and brought the Packers back to beat the Bears. So last week, same situation. The first sack on the Green Bay Packers' first drive, their first series, to force that punt. Roy Robinson Harris was that player that came through the middle, actually bull rushed the offensive lineman with one hand, and when he fell to the ground, Aaron Rodgers was trying to get away, but Roy was able to lunge off the ground and grab Aaron Rodgers with his right hand and slam him down to the ground. It was a lot of effort. It was one of those sacks that basically showed that player was hungry and he wanted to get to Aaron Rodgers. And knowing how a lot of times Aaron Rodgers would extend plays with him scrambling, it was imperative that Roy was able to make that stop. And if he didn't make that stop, no telling if Aaron Rodgers would have picked up first down or not, but chances are he probably would have. But that was a good performance by Roy Robinson Harris. He actually finished that game with three tackles, actually had another sack that he helped finish off late in the game. So that was a highly contested defensive game last week. Only problem was Mitchell Trubisky could not pull off a play to help solidify the actions that the defense did. But kudos to my man Roy Robinson Harris. He did his job out there as a pioneer of the RC. He went out and he did his thing. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad, on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. Now, moving forward for the Washington Redskins. Washington Redskins have two players there that's pretty much in the starting defense. Number one, I'm going to start with Quentin Dunbar, who's been there the longest. He's a cornerback. I would say the Washington Redskins secondary is better when this young man is on the field. Last year when he got injured, they started off strong with him on the field for about the first 5 to 6 weeks. But when he went down to an injury, that's when the secondary pretty much, I ain't going to say they tanked, but they struggled for the rest of the year. Now Dunbar is back, bit of health, ready to rock and roll. And last week he showed out. He actually led the team in tackles with 9. Now, he did hurt his foot in that game late, pretty much in the beginning part of the third quarter, and that's when the Philadelphia Eagles just really went to work and came back in deep ball fashion. I would say Carson Wentz, him and Deshaun Jackson just hooked up often in that game, especially late in that game when Quentin Dunbar had left the game. It definitely was a change, and it went against the Washington Redskins, but it was in favor for the Eagles in that game. But also for the Washington Redskins, knowing that Quentin Dunbar did his job in the secondary, rookie Cole McCombs, he stepped up in his NFL debut as a linebacker for the Washington Redskins, and he finished the game with 8 tackles. So he is showing that he can be a legitimate rock inside that in that linebacker core for the Washington Redskins, just like how Sean Lee is for the Dallas Cowboys. So that's one player there you definitely want to keep your eyes out for in the Washington Redskins land. I believe that Cole will do some great things for the Washington Redskins for many years to come, being a leader in that defense. Also, Adam Thielen, who we all know, all-pro wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. Last year, he made history by starting the first 8 games of the season with over 100 receiving yards, the first player to do it. Signed a big deal extension for 4 years, $64 million. So he's set. He used the platform to help him become a multimillionaire. So that worked out for him, and it's working out for many others that went through the platform that would have been overlooked, but wound up making it in front of scouts, making it with a team, and now, boom, here you go, having a successful NFL career. Now, last week, he didn't start off with 100 receiving yards, but he did reach the end zone, which is more important to him because he know that scoring, putting points to the board, is going to ultimately help with a team win. So in that game, early in the game in the fourth quarter, to set things off to get the first score for the Vikings was that Kirk Cousins had took the ball from the snap, dropped back, threw across the middle where you saw Thielen with the streaking right past the defender, going around him. And when he had a player that was in front of him, one of the defensive backs for the Atlanta Falcons, he pretty much just bulldozed his way right through the defender, right into the end zone. So that just showed the eagerness and hunger that he was trying to get across that goal line to get that touchdown. And so Adelton may not put up a whole lot of huge numbers last week, but the one number, that touchdown that he wanted to get, that was the most important thing because it helped his team to seal their first win of the season. And this week is going to be an even tougher matchup, which I will get to later on in the show. You guys listen to Locker Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. We're going to go ahead and take a quick pause. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up the rest of what was the review from week one, and then we're going to jump into week two. And then before the end of the show, I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about next week on the Locker Talk.
Hey, this is L.A. Batzler reminding you, if you're looking for real discussion on sports, politics, religion, and other topics, you need to join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern at WCOMFM.org, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/LA-Batzler, and on Thursdays at the same web address. Follow us on Facebook at Pad Nation, on Twitter, Pad Nation, the number 2, at Twitter, LinkedIn, and you can email us with your requests, your comments, your concerns, anything you want at our email address at labatchelor with a T, BATCHELOR 40 at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Pad Nation, Instagram, and of course, if you miss any part of our broadcast, make sure you go to thebachelorpadnetwork.com and listen and enjoy the Bachelor Pad.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Locker Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. And make sure you guys check out the new site. It's no longer Bassett Pad Radio Network. It's just Bassett News Radio, where you guys can still check us out on TuneIn. Check out, we have everything set up with all our shows that we talk about any topic, anything dealing with religion, politics, social matters, entertainment. We all covered, and you know that. And I'm going to hold down the sports part. So make sure you guys tune in and check out on all the shows with Dr. Larry, you know, the Donaldson Files, you name it. Also with L.A. Batzler, with what he do on every Thursday. The man is solid across the board. There's nothing that he do not know about. So it definitely will be something that every week that you guys will definitely learn. But right now, you guys are learning more NFL stuff. So we're going to get right back to it. Previewing what the guys from the NFL Regional Combine did last week. I'm going to go right through this real fast. When we have with Kenneth Moore, the second for the Indianapolis Colts, cornerback, he finished that game with 4 tackles against the Los Angeles Chargers. Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Seth Roberts, who spent most of his career, his last 4 years with the Oakland Raiders, now in Baltimore, he signed the 1-year deal. He was able to be a part of that passing frenzy that Lamar Jackson had last week as he caught 1 pass for 10 yards. And then you had New York Giants running back Elijah Penny, who spent most of his career with the Arizona Cardinals, signed with the New York Giants last year. I know that the New York Giants didn't, you know, do a lot last year, but he was out there for critical, I would say, short yardage situations where he was able to be successful when his number was called upon. Last week, he was able to carry the ball twice for 3 yards. Okay, now that was last week's good stuff. Now I'm going to preview week two. Now, week two is going to be, it's one particular player from the Regional Combine platform that I'm really, really, really interested in seeing how they will use him. And I'm talking about Alex McGill. And I've talked about this young man several times during the season. I mean, during the offseason and last year. Now, Alex McGill actually came through the process last year in 2018 when we worked him out in Tampa, in Tampa Bay practice facility. And he was a quarterback from Florida International. Very solid young man, a good player, definitely can make all the NFL throws. He was drafted by the Seattle Seahawks. Now, drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, knowing that he will get drafted, no one is going to take Russell Wilson's spot. So, he knew that. Everyone knew that that Russell Wilson is going to be the man there, but he needed a backup. So Alex went in, worked his butt off, put in a good, you know, fight for himself. He did not make the active rosters for Seattle, but he did make the practice squad. Now, after he went through the whole season of practice squad, all the players that was on Seattle's team that was on practice squad signed back with Seattle for the Jacksonville Jaguars, signed him to that team. Going in the situation, knowing that Blake Bortles was not going to be there, not going to be that franchise quarterback, and it was pretty much open. So going to that squad, then I'm thinking, okay, he have a shot that he's going to actually be able to compete to be a starter for that team because he is capable of being a starter in the NFL. Okay, Nick Foles coming along, signed a big deal. Okay, Super Bowl winning quarterback. As much as I hate for me to say that, but it's true. Super Bowl winning quarterback. He owned up. He actually put himself in a situation that the team wanted him, and Jacksonville needed a quarterback. Boom, that's where he went to. Congratulations to him. So it was back in the same situation, knowing he was not going to be the starter, but going to fight for the backup situation, backup quarterback. Had a decent offseason, decent preseason. And during the preseason, one of the things that stood out, which I knew about from, going through my research about this young man, was that not only was he a good thrower of the ball, but he's very, very athletic. And he had wheels. And when they played against the Baltimore Ravens, going up against that tough defense, you know, it was one of those situations you saw on the field that going into a week two, it was like he made a decision. And he said, listen, if I'm not going to be able to make something happen with my arm, I'm going to create something and become and be the player who he is. And he is a scrambling quarterback. So during the preseason, he was able to score twice with his legs, showcasing that he's not what he considered himself, and he's not a non-traditional quarterback, unquote. That was something that he said earlier this week. Now, Jacksonville going into that 50-man roster, get cut, thinking that, okay, when he'll get cut, he'll go directly right to that practice squad. But when he got released, the Houston Texans picked him up. Same situation. Going to a team where they already established with a quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who had put on a fantastic showing last week against the Saints. Although it was a loss, but that man played ball. So that whole thing is wrapped up and locked and sealed. He's that franchise quarterback. He's that future. But what stood out to me was McGool's athletic ability. And then all of a sudden, I just started to think about Tyson Hill, who's the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Now, Hill, same situation, almost like with McGool. Hill came in undrafted from BYU, signed with the Green Bay Packers. At the end of the season, that's when the Saints picked him up. Sean Payton said, you know what, this young man probably can play quarterback in this league, but he's so dynamic as an athlete. Oh, we're not going to handcuff him just to be a quarterback. We're going to open the door for this young man to be able to use his full capacity as an athlete that can play on the NFL level. So he has Hill. Sometimes he wants to go out and see him in the back back there taking the snap, knowing that he's not going to take over the team because Drew Brees is planning on playing for the next 4 years. So we already know that whole story. But Hill is used sometimes as a running back, but oftentimes you see him as a wide receiver, slot wide receiver. On big plays they need down the field, he's pretty much that third option, so to speak. And he's making major, major plays with his legs. So it got my wheels turning. Okay. When the Texans signed him to that practice squad this past Tuesday, they activated him to the active roster. And he practiced with the team on Wednesday. Now, when it comes down to the NFL, when it's traditional setting, that when players practice on a Wednesday, chances are they're going to be suited up to play that Sunday. Now, I hope I'm not letting the cat out the bag because I really don't know what the Texans are doing right now with McGool. But I would not be surprised if they have Alex on that field being like a Tyson Hill for the New Orleans Saints. I would not be surprised if they had packages out there for Magoo to really show his athletic abilities. And why not? During the course of the NFL career now, Hill is not the first quarterback to be able to work in a slash capacity. The most famous ones that come to your mind is Cordell Stewart and Antoine Randle-L when they both played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, played quarterback in college, get to the pros, recognize that these guys can do so much more than just throw a ball and just keep throwing the sidelines. Although Cordell Stewart eventually became the full-time quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But before he was able to do that, he was slashed. And so he was not the Hill's not the first quarterback to do it. The most famous ones have been Stewart and Antoine Randle-L. So the only thing that's different now is that you have two white guys that's very athletic. Hill is pulling it off. I would love to see Magoo get out there and do the same thing that Hill is doing because he can do it. And I think that with his capacity, and despite what people may think about how certain athletes of color or non-color, you have Christian McCaffrey, fantastic running back. For the longest time, they probably thought that, white players, there's a skill set, could not play multiple positions or be that fast or be that talented. But it's not true. We see it now. And Alex Magoo is one of those guys, 6'3", stocky kid, very fast, very athletic. And, yes, he's a Caucasian. I hope they don't put the handcuffs on him because that young man needs to be on the field. He is really that good. So I would not be surprised if the Texans use him in the same capacity as they use in Hill in the New Orleans Saints. So that's one thing I want you guys to watch out for this weekend as my preview and breakdown as far as with the NFL Regional Combine players moving forward for week two. So keep your eyes out on that. Another thing to watch out for is, Adam Thielen, again, going against the Packers. We know that he played, the Vikings play against them two times a year, which is great. He pretty much owned the Packers. And out of the five games, the last five games they played, four of those games, Adam Thielen had caught the ball at least eight times and was well over 100 yards in receiving yards in both games and also combined for two touchdowns. So for the last two games, let me rephrase that. Out of their five games they played against the Packers, four of those games in which he had eight receptions. Now, the last two games they played against the Packers, not only did he have at least eight receptions, he had over 100 yards each game. He combined for about 20 catches for 256 yards and two touchdowns. Now, the Packers, based off of last week, their secondary is a lot younger, a lot faster, a lot better. So will Adam continue to reign supreme against the secondary, against the Vikings team that's really trying to improve their landscape as being a more defensive team to help give Aaron Rodgers the opportunity and chances to try to win because their secondary and has been their, I would say, their weak point, so to speak, or their weak spot as far as their defense. Now the Packers really will need that secondary because I think up front they're not as strong. So the secondary is going to have to step up, which they did last week. Let's see if they can continue. And I know for a fact that going through the course of this week, they are looking to figure out a way how to slow down Adam Thielen because he's that key that keeps that engine running for the Minnesota Vikings. So that's something to watch out for, too. Now, next week, I'm looking to have a guest to come on the show. I will have it announced on the course of the week for one of our proud colleges for the HBCU family. Now, next week, last month I talked about my outlist, my overlooked unknown talent for the 2020 NFL season. It's just my preseason list. My offensive list was done last month. Next week I will have that story released. But next week I will talk about the defensive players. And I know some of you, many people are waiting for my defensive list for my preseason. It may change. No, not may. It will change at the end of the collegiate season, where these guys who they're going to tag and say these guys are some that need to get in front of NFL scout because their talent need to be seen. So that's the purpose of my watch list. So next week I will talk about the defensive players. I will look to have a coach to come on the show next week. It'll probably be confirmed during early part of next week. And make sure you stay tuned to find out what coach I'm talking about. They have a great program. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. He definitely have one of his players is definitely one on my list. So I'm really excited about that. So next week, make sure you guys tune in to Locker Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars. So tomorrow, today, I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Please go to the site. You'll find out so much about the NFL that you do not hear talked about anywhere on the planet. You can always reach me directly at any one of my social handles on Twitter, Locker_Report, 2B Sports, on Instagram, Locker Report 100, all small caps, Facebook, LockReport.com, and you also shoot me the message directly via email at Barry Barnes@Locker-Report.com. Everyone stay blessed. Enjoy week two.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.